Welcome back to episode 5 of Brothers from Another Mother or Bros from Another Mo. And my name is Syed Kerblai, and a quick hello, salam, shalom, namaste, ardavase, and sasriyakal. And in that, I will now hand you over to my brother from another mother.
I'm Darbir Singh. Bonjour, buongiorno, hola.
Brilliant, thank you. So I think since we last met in episode 4, it was your birthday. So I at that time, because you know, you were talking about the next day, I don't think I actually wished you a happy birthday. So happy birthday, and hope you had a good time.
Yeah, no, thank you. I did. Thanks very much. Yeah. Getting old.
Getting cold. Yeah, and as I said previously, I've definitely got more salt in my pepper, which is my beard. And that's for the YouTube listeners, and for those on Spotify, yeah, we've got a lot more grey in our beards now, you know, and with Dumvir's distinguished beard and my, you know, salt and pepper beard. And also thank you to Rebel PT, who kind of been supporting us throughout, and also Liam Bailey for all his help with the production. So thank you to them. Obviously, thank you to our families as well, you know, for the various support they've given, you know, and so thank you to them. Any other thank yous for you, Damir?
No, I think I'd like to add on to the family, because definitely they allow us to take this time out and go into a room and record these podcasts. So yeah, big shout out to the family for the support.
Yeah, and hopefully they won't be crossing your path today as you're recording.
No,
yeah.
I've told them stay out.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant, thank you. No, so this is episode 5, and we're going to be talking about failures to success, and what that means for us, as and people may or disagree with what we're saying, but it comes from our lived and life experience. So Davina, come to you then. So what do you understand, and what do you define as success and failures?
Well, I suppose it's tricky, because I don't want to flow into our next podcast, so I'll try to stay away from that. And I'm not going to give away what the next one is. But yeah, for me, obviously, a success is something that, you know, you put your mind to it, and hopefully at the end of it, you kind of get what your mind desires are, to a certain extent, obviously, within limits. But same way, failure to me is what I've understood to be. I mean, if you ask me this question, I want to say this actually. If you asked a question maybe 10 years ago, I would look at failures quite negatively. But I think now for me, when you ask me this question, current time, I would say a failure is an opportunity for you to start learning more, because I used to put myself down if I failed at something, where now I feel like I failed, but it's a learning curve for me. Let's see if I can do better next time. And then hopefully the next time, if I fail again, I'll do better the next time and so forth. But before, I would just kind of say, oh, I failed, I'm rubbish. So I see it more as a failure, it's a learning curve, and success is something that I put my mind to and I've managed to achieve it. That's what I see is.
No, there's a couple of good points then. I'll pick up a couple of them, and I'll see if I think we would potentially end up saying the same thing, but I'll put my pitch to you then. Okay. So I consider failures as when you've done something risky or not. You know, you've tried to succeed and then you've not been able to accomplish that. Okay. And then even after learning, you've then quit. For me, failure is quitting, right? Okay. And I feel, you know, like we've discussed this before and in our private conversation, that's why, I think, just for the listeners out there, that's why, you know, for us recording this unscripted, it's both unique as well as it's a relationship that we've built. So for me, mini fails is when you try something, didn't work, you then learn from it, you know. But most before that, some people don't even try. So they're too scared to fail, so they don't even try. Okay, so the way I like to think of it, you at least try, and you may fail, or you may, but then you learn from that, and then you improve from that, and then you repeat, you know. So you're allowed to have mini failures as long as, you know, we're constantly learning. We're at least trying. We're constantly learning. We're constantly improving. We're constantly repeating. And that's what leads to success. Some people just quit at the first hurdle And for me, that's what failure is. You know, we're going to be speaking about this in episode 6, which is, and I know you don't want to mention it, but I'll mention it, it's imposter syndrome. Okay. But I don't want to cover that too much in this particular episode. But what do you think about my kind of take on it then?
Yeah, like you say, there is a slight crossover. And yeah, I didn't want to give it away, but yeah, make sure you tune in for that one, because that's going to be a really interesting imposter syndrome one. But yeah, no, I totally agree for everything you says. It kind of makes sense, is that, you know, if you quit, that's definitely then you failed yourself, really. But I think we do look at it as a negative way, regardless what culture, faith, background you're from. I feel where people, when they tend to fail, giving up, that's you failing by giving up. Where I think failure is, it's important that don't look at it as a negative and just look at it as a positive, that you've tried, you've learned something from it. The next time, do the same, but a little bit better, and just continue to do that pattern until you actually reach. I like to add something. I always like, you know, metaphors, analogies as well, as you know. So it's like climbing, I don't know, rock climbing, and then you've got a few rocks that you're climbing up, and you might slip a few times, but ultimately you want to get to the top for two reasons. One, because you've paid for it, so you want to make sure you get the full money's worth if you went to a, you know, a rock climbing expedition somewhere, and you know that you actually paid for it. And the second reason is that you want to experience what it's like to see the view from the top. So you're not going to give up. You're going to keep failing by falling off these rocks, but you're going to keep continuing to get up to those, to the high mountain peak, and actually look over and say, wow, that was worth it. So in the day, I think always look at positively, that's going to be worth it in the end.
Yeah, so, and I think other people, you have probably said this, but probably been, it may sound like a cliche, but I'll say it anyway, because I've been saying for absolutely years, and you know me for years, it's not just about the destination, it's about the journey. So the expectation, unfortunately, so if people are watching me on YouTube, so if you draw a straight line, okay, so people think this is failure and then success is on the other side, okay, right? But in fact, that line is actually not a straight line. It's in the middle. It's a whole twisted network of a mess of a line until it gets to the end. So in that tangled line, there's so many different directions. So as I said, you at least try, you may fail, but you learn from that, and then you improve and repeat. And it's, you know, talking about Olympians as well previously, for example, Usain Bolt, he said that he trained for 4 years just for 10 seconds run.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So if you think about that, because all those 4 years, he could have had injuries. He could have, you know, not won in every race, but he would at least pick up that training and then improve it, his technique and technique. And he was only going to the Olympics for a 10-second race, you know? So, but if you think about some people, and sometimes it may have been generational issues, because there's a fear of trying, you know, there's a fear of failing, there's a fear of asking for help, you know, in some cultures, in our cultures as well, is very much, nobody promotes you to be, customer service individual, but they want to be a doctor, lawyer, but they won't give you the path, you know. So it's just mostly about the title or the destination, you know. So what's your views on that then?
Yeah, no, that's true. You know, there is a lot of pressure in our culture. Again, we'll probably touch on that in our next episode. But yeah, we do look at failure very negatively as people in general, I think. And I think it's very rare you'll find, and like I said, that's what I said, if you asked me this question a few years ago, my answer would have been totally different, because we tend to look at failure as very negative, but it's not actually negative, because failure at least means you're actually trying to succeed. Yeah. I think that's important.
Yeah. So, and I think the most successful people in the world have failed more than times than they've succeeded, you know, but after like 100 times of failing. And I like to define it as failure and mini fails. I like to define it like that. So for me, failure is that you've taken a risk, it didn't work out, then you just quit. You know, it's equivalent of a boxer gets hit and doesn't get back up again. You know, and where mini fails, you take the hit, you duck and dive, You learn from that. You won't take that punch again, and you move around the ring, right? And then you win, you know. And then in between, you may have lost some fights and stuff, but you put more extra training. You learn, improve, and try, and all these things. And then the next time you come back stronger, you know. But I don't know if you've experienced it, and some of it is post-COVID. Some of it's kind of a cultural thing. Sometimes it's the age demographic that we're dealing with as well. That they're afraid to try, they're afraid to ask, you know, and because in their mind, that is failure, but it isn't. That's how you learn to improve, you know, because if it's cultural or community, because they've been taught that, oh no, you have to do it the hard way, you know, and I don't know if you've come across examples like that yourself.
No, but you have got me thinking, because I think it's important. With us being bros from another more being Asian oriented, I think it's important that we keep it on that same level of, because or else it'd be boring if we just speak on the level of everyone else. We are unique, it is unscripted. So what I wanted to say was, it's so true that, like what you're saying, is that I think what it is, we're so, and I'll say especially in our cultures, very like much in our comfort zones, and we struggle to come out of this comfort zone. So if someone says, oh, I'm not doing that, because what it is, we're embarrassed to fail sometimes. And you know, people look at you, oh, this guy is no good and all that. What a waste of time. Not realizing you've actually tried very hard. It's just you've had a wee bit of a blip. But I think in our culture, having these blips or failures, you are looked at, again, very negatively. And no one tries to pick you up and support you. So it doesn't matter. You can try this again. And I think other cultures do this better than I'm personally saying from my own culture. I've seen that where people don't support you and pick you back up. They say, oh, did you fail? Wow, you're so stupid and so silly, and, you know, really put you down. And I think that is something we do need to, and I think people who are listening to this, please take note of this, that we need to do better at this, I think, and support each other a little bit better.
Yeah, and you know, I agree, because, you know, that's why buddy support, you know, mentoring support, peer support is so important, because what you're trying to do is you're normalizing the and reversing those incorrect behaviors to say it's actually okay to ask, right? It's okay to fail big, you know, right? And you'll hear this for many motivational speakers, and you'll hear them say things like, if you want to succeed big, you have to fail big, you know, right? Because that's where you get the biggest lessons as well. I've, you know, experienced many people who, even with a kind of a peer group, you know, a buddy support group, will not come forward, but they will contact me separately because they feel like they're, you know, they don't want to be judged. But the whole point of these groups is not to be judged, you know, right? And there's like-minded people together who believe in supporting each other. You know, like, you know, the old adage, you know, I think it's the old African proverb about it takes a village to raise a child, you know. This is why community and culture is so important, that we've got to support each other. It's not about elbows out, you know. And unfortunately, in some people's idea of success is, I'm going to be in front of you in the line, you know. In Punjabi, they would say, "Main agge lag janga," you know, "to tusi piche reh jaoge," you know, "I'll be in front of you, you're going to be behind me," you know. And that kind of mentality isn't helpful, because it just builds up a lot of, you know, trauma for later life, you know, feeling that you can't trust people, they're all going to stab me in the back, you know. But there is a lot of that in our culture, in many cultures as well, where the idea of success is stabbing everybody in the back to succeed and to get to the top. Okay, right? But I think I've spoken to you about this before in our various conversations over the years, right? So the way I think of it is this, is if you stab everybody in the back to get to the top, right? And those people will unfortunately fail at some point in their life, right? And when they fall off that pedestal, right, there'll be nobody to catch them, because they've stabbed everybody in the back, and they know where the bodies are buried, right? Okay. The way I like to think of it is, if you support each other, you know, you learn to fail, and you know, you improve to fail, and you learn, and you have this supportive network, you know, who's rooting for you. And when you fall, be it mental health, personal issues, family losses, the difficult circumstances, when you fall from above, there'll be a network to catch you and push you back up on their shoulders back to where you need to go. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what you've just talked about really brings me into the thing that is on my mind is about ego. So I think this works both ways as well for the person who's asking for help and the person who tried to succeed without your help. So it's like a double-edged sword here so you get people like myself who don't want to ask for help because they feel like they're too egotistic to ask because they don't want to look like they can't manage something or handle something without asking for help. Then obviously that's wrong because we should be able to ask. But then you've got the flip side, the person who has tried to get to the top of the mountain without giving you a hand up, you know, whether that's with throwing you down a rope or a lifeline, they're egotistic as well because they want to succeed, but they don't want to see others be successful. And I think that's something that is in our culture really badly where, you know, no one wants to help each other. Even though if you look back probably in their history, there was probably a beautiful and a massive network of people who wanted to see people actually be on the same wavelength. But now it's like, no, I'm not bringing you with me. I'm going to succeed and I'm just going to watch you keep on failing and not throw you that lifeline or that rope down. I think it's ego. It's really ego from both sides. Ego from not asking for help and ego from just trying to succeed without giving you an opportunity.
Well, I'm going to dive into a little bit about that. You know, is it ego for one side or both sides, or is it fear?
About both, maybe, because fear. Are you saying fear for the person who's asking for help, or
both sides? So for fear,
both sides.
So the fear of the person asking for help, right? And then the person who's saying it has got an ego has, again, fears of asking for help, you know, or giving help, because it's programmed within their mindset to succeed at all costs, right? Okay. And they can't give up time for anybody else. They can't make time for anybody else. The other person who's asking is afraid to ask for help because the person, you know, like, In the Scottish lingo, shall we say, it's you know, the daft laddie or daft lassie question, you know, right? Because if those people, again, the people who are afraid to ask, they have this inbuilt fear that they are under understanding that if you're asking for help, that is weakness. Therefore, it's a failure. Therefore, you are not successful. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That's both. So there's fear and ego. But the fear probably is right where fear of asking, then maybe failing, and then the fear of someone saying, that was a waste of time helping this person, but not realizing they may learn differently, so they need a little bit extra help. And maybe there is a fear of asking because you like that daft laddie, and it's true, or daft lassie, because you feel like, I'm the one to ask, it's embarrassing. So you're scared to ask for help as well. And I have seen that in my walk of life, even with myself. I think you've actually hit a note where I feel like that resonates with myself, where maybe I'm feared to ask for help because I feel that if I fail, they're going to judge me.
Yeah, but again, that is a cultural thing. That is because if you have only known that that success is you have to succeed at all costs by yourself, right? Okay, and then you only learn by yourself, right? Is that success or is that failure then? Is that ego? Is that ego? Is that fear? Is that comfort zone or is that development zone? You know? What do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it's a mixture of everything, really, I think. A bit of fear, a bit of ego, I suppose a bit of comfort zone. I think it's just, you know, what it is in our culture, there is a lot of judgment that goes on as well. So people do... I think you know what, actually, I say it's ego, but I think there is a more fear factor here that people are scared to ask because you're judged very quickly in our culture. I think that's why this conversation is about breaking down those stigmatisms and help people understand that we shouldn't be like that. Because I honestly do feel that, like, something you told me, actually, which is so right, when someone says, like, for example, I'm going to skip, like, a little bit, change subject slightly, but you know how people, like, they're successful. And some people, they almost say, like, they did it. But always, I'm sure you told me this, somewhere down the line, they've actually got that information or got help from someone else. but they're not, they're too proud to maybe, so there's pride as well, pride by the, they're probably too proud to admit, oh, by the way, Saeed actually helped me to get to where I am today. And then when someone else is maybe in the line for help, they're not passing that information over. So it's, then it's broke that link. I think it's so important not to break those links. But I think it does come from like everything above, you know, the fear, the ego, the comfort zones. I think that is a lot in our culture. So it's tried to break some of those barriers down.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think I still think that, you know, in our cultures, communities, there's a wrong understanding of success, right? Okay. Right. Okay, let's put culture and community to one side. Okay. Right. I'm going to, like, the other episode, 1-4, you know, including interfaith and faith and religion. If you take all those things together, we should be better people, because in leadership, the leadership principles I follow is you give credit where credit's due or sometimes overdue, and you don't steal credit. Okay? Right? There will be mistakes, males, they're not blame culture. Okay? You learn to mitigate regarding reducing those risks of those big mistakes or failures happening again. You know, especially high profile stuff, you want to make sure, you know, you mitigate. You can't get rid of them all completely, because there could be new team members coming in, inexperienced, but if you have good processes in place, the people will be supported to reduce these things that happen, you know. Thirdly, inspiring each other by camaraderie, compassion, empathy, and all these things, you know, and inspiring us to be self-motivated to say, like, okay, I need to succeed, I need to go to do interviews, but I can get mock interviews with a friend, I can get a friend to look at my application form, you know. And sometimes you just have to make it clear, and sometimes, you know, we say in these various different things like peer support, buddy support, you know, if you're going for the same job, you want, you know, you necessarily want to do that, you know, with the same, with that person, but somebody is out with that, you know, so you don't have the fear of competition, you know. So that links to think about compassion, empathy, humility, you know, and therefore against ego, you know. And I think we talked about this before, like, I'm not in competition with you, right? Because you're Dhanveer Singh, I'm Saeed Kerblai. We've got different experiences where we come together on a number of things, including this podcast, you know, and this series. But I'm not in competition with you. So you know that you're not afraid to ask me over anything, and I'm not afraid to ask you anything, because we're not in competition, okay? What I'm in competition is not with you. I'm in competition with myself to be a better person than I was yesterday. That's the competition that we should be having. We should then, you know, if it's physical activity, we make sure we're healthier than we were yesterday. So, you know, putting more effort into our health and fitness and things like that. Having, you know, faith in ourselves, you know, having faith in other communities, interfaith, you know, having a religion, you believe if you're agnostic or not, you know, and atheist or not, or, you know, if you do believe in a religion, is being a better human being. And you know, I quote Simon Sinek quite a lot, and he talks about the some people call it the soft skills, you know, and he refers to the human skills of empathy, compassion, humility, and all these things, which are really important by effective leadership. So I've covered quite a lot of that, and then I was in agreement with what you were saying, so I was kind of expanding on some of that. So what do you think about some of the things I've just mentioned there?
Yeah, you know, it's all definitely in tune with what we're talking about, because people might be thinking we're going off on tangent here, but we're not, because I think the biggest thing is that working together, obviously, is so important. Having a faith is so important, and even within faith, because I've even seen this. I like what you're saying about the whole competition thing, because even in religion, I've seen that quite a lot, where people think, oh, I know more than you about Sikhi, or I know more than you about Islam. You know, I know more than you about God, for example. But we forget what we've got in common. We all love. And I think that is a massive connection we all should be looking at, because ultimately it's about the game of love, you know, with any faith. But we're even in competition with that. And then if someone's struggling, for example, like I know in my faith, like I'm not the best of reading my prayers. I try my best. I've learned a lot, you know, Guru's Kripa, God's grace, but I do still struggle compared to some people. And sometimes I do look at myself like, am I failing here? But then, and I say this without any ego, and those who know me, including yourself, will know I'm not saying this ego. But I truly love God. I truly love my faith. I truly love humanity. I truly love those who walk on the path towards Vaheguru, towards God, towards Allah. It's so beautiful to me. So is that not enough sometimes for people? But I think we do live in this culture of, oh, he's failing in his faith because he can't read this, or he's failing in his faith because he can't tie the star or turban like this, or he's failing in his faith because he doesn't go to the Gurdwara, you know, too often. And I've seen that so much. But they never say, he's doing all right, actually. He tries to come once a week. He's doing okay. Or you know what? He's doing all right because he does read his prayers, but maybe not do like more than this guy, but that doesn't matter. He's still trying. I think we forget to give that, like say, credit where credit is due. And I think that's one thing that maybe ends up making us quit, because I've seen that as well in my faith. I've seen lived experience in that, where someone has came into the path, doing really well, made a couple of mistakes, and it's almost like he's failed, bang, kick him off the fence, you know. And it's terrible.
You know, I I've seen that as well in my faith and my communities and culture and, you know, and religion. But then for me, those people don't understand faith and they don't understand religion, right? Because going back to what we've discussed 100 times, Damir, like, okay, most of the religions were based on good principles, be it charity, empathy, compassion, you know, and humility, okay? And what happens is they get corrupted along the way by committees and being mosques, gurdwara, churches, synagogues, anywhere, you know, temples, you know. And because those people have an agenda, you know. And to quote a Marvel movie, and I'll do in this case, which was Civil War, you know. And I think Captain America is saying, you know, the safest hands are still our own, okay. Because power corrupts, people have agendas and those agendas change, okay, right? So power corrupts, and therefore people who have keeping the knowledge and not sharing the knowledge, that is also power, and that's corruption as well, being religious or psychological or just, you know, in general. So is that corruption of the mind and corruption of religions and stuff, you know? And I'm sure we could have done another our discussion on that, but what's your kind of overarching views of what I've just said there then?
Yeah, just obviously to stay on subject, I think that's so true about the committees, and regardless of what faith background those committees belong to, I've seen that, and from a personal experience again, and it's important that we talk about personal experience, because that's going to be the most real for us. And that's when you see in Gurdwara's committees, they're so hell bent on trying to succeed in being the best Gurdwara in terms of materialistically wise, so that's making the most money and having the most best looking, you know, place of worship, but they're not watching people how to bring them into the faith so they can learn how to be good people, so when they are failing they're succeeding as well, like, you know, teaching these things that we're teaching. Those things aren't getting taught in these places of worship, because for them it's about that whole thing you talked about, just seeing them being on a level where they're succeeding, but they're not helping everybody on the way. And I've seen that much.
Yeah, no, I think we've talked about this before, about tick box exercise, and I think we talked about it in other episodes as well, where I'm going to the Gurdwara, the mosque, or the church, or the synagogue, tick, right? I've done the prayers, tick, you know, I've shown my face, tick, you know. But then the rest of the week, they're not doing anything spiritual, helping the community, doing those, you know, godly things or a human being, you know, humanity things. And then you kind of think, is this success? Is this what your version of success is? It's not my version of success. You know, my version of success is very similar to yours, Dumbias, which is about that humility, compassion, empathy, charity for all, you know, and no matter their race, color, or creed.
Yeah, no, totally. I'm 100% on that, because, you know, I hope people are going to tune into this episode and we're going to share it like mad, because I really want to get this message across, where we really need to do this much better, because it's actually one of my bugbears watching, you know, the Gurdwaras like building these beautiful palaces, let's say. And, you know, and I've seen it across the board, you know, in other faiths as well. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But when you see someone who's maybe struggling in the community, or they've failed maybe in a couple of things they've tried to succeed in, instead of saying, oh, are you okay? Is there any way we can help as a godly establishment? You know, we're here to help. And instead, they'll watch someone, even to extent, they'll watch this person go where the mental health goes through the roof, but they're not bothered because they're too busy trying to build these places of worship for, like you say, from an ego point of view, that this looks beautiful and we've made this much amount of money, but they're not thought about how many guys have you actually helped on the path? How many guys you've actually helped progress in reading their prayers? How many guys you've actually helped maybe get them back on the feet because they had a really bad downturn in terms of like now the cost of living crisis? I'll be looking at people and helping them get into a successful position of just normal, even. You know, people are struck.
No, that's true, though. And success, you know, for me, and again, like I covered those attributes earlier on, you know, compassion, empathy, humility, you know, charity and stuff. And these, you know, places of worship, you know, be it as a gurdwara, a mosque, or a church, you know, a synagogue, should be the center of community, you know, and a safe space, you know, and therefore, any support that can be offered. And it's not just a building that's open certain hours, right, you know, and this glittering place, right, but then it's soulless. Do you know, it's equivalent to an empty shell then, because if you just have this sparking building, right, it's like all show, you know. There's various different analogies regarding wolf in sheep's clothing and stuff like that, you know. And so just going to some of those things, can you see any similarities or what I'm saying there kind of resonate with you?
Yeah, it does. You know, one day I remember, this is genuine, obviously, and for confidential reasons, I won't give the name, obviously, but I got a phone call from someone in the community once, and they were saying, really struggling to get a job. Every time I apply, I keep failing the interview, or I keep failing the application, or I keep failing even just to get, you know, even find a job. And he reached out to me, and he was really upset. And he said something to me, and, you know, I'm not going to lie, I felt so embarrassed, because he looked up to me as a, you know, as a like a spiritual leader or in the Sikh community or something. And I says, what is it, you know, you're looking for me to do? And obviously, me being me, and again, I say this, you know, humble as possible, and you know this, brother, like I do try to help as much as I can. So I says, what is it you're looking for me to do? And he says to me, and this is where it really got embarrassed, and he goes, does the Gurdwara not like hold any like sort of classes or seminars or, you know, open days or something, or like a reach out day that to help people get in jobs or something? And he even added this in as well, and this, you know, this is important as well, so I'll mention it, but he says, or is there anybody who helps you through like maybe mental health problems? Because this is someone, I'm going to be honest with you, again, I can't give a name away, but this is someone who doesn't really come to the Gurdwara very often. I mean, you're lucky if he comes once a month, if you're lucky. So he never really knew what systems are in place. And I felt so embarrassed, because I was like, and on the subject of failings, because I says, I've failed you, brother. I says, I've actually failed you, because I feel really bad, because we haven't got any of those things in place. And he says, you know what he says to me? He said, and this is coming to the most embarrassing part. He says, but I know of someone, and this is from a different faith background. And he says, they actually have that in their establishments. I think it was linked to the Christian faith. I'm going to be open and honest and say it. I'm going to say it. And I says, all right, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, they have like drop-in center, basically once every few weeks or something, like the set time. And you can come in and speak to like a mental health nurse, or you can come in and speak to like a financial career advisor or something. And I thought, why are we not doing that? Like, why?
but that goes back to what we're talking about is, in some communities, if they do that, then that showcases the failures in the you know, establishment, and I think they don't want to hide. They feel like that's spotlighting their failures. right? Instead of saying, okay, there's this gap that we need to fill, it's been highlighted, they're going to brush it under the carpet because they don't need constraint or getting people in the door, you know, for the service, you know, and, you know, contributions for those people on Spotify. Dumby is rubbing his fingers together like, you know, money. But it's opportunities. But it requires somebody, you know, in the establishment, you know, community establishment, you know, to actually recognize that this is a gap and that needs to be filled, you know, because if we're going to leave it for the next person, then nothing's going to happen. That person's going to leave it for the next person. That going to piece it, then nothing's going to get, you know, there's no going to be any success. Everybody's going to collectively fail, you know, and so leaving it to the next person is not the option, you know. I've heard so many people who are quite negative in my experience and sometimes quite toxic, and I try to spend time away from them. They're easy to criticize, right? They're easy to be negative, and they have a problem for more problems than solutions, right? And then you ask them, you know, like they'll talk about all this thing, or this, yeah, society's falling apart, politics is this, you know, but it's even in politics, it's easy to be in opposition. But once they come into power, it's like, oh my God, this is quite difficult. Right? Okay. And you must have come across many people that they're easy to criticize, easy to be negative. You ask them for solutions and they have none.
I'm definitely seeing that. I've seen people, you know, given their 2 pence worth all the time, but he's like, but are you actually doing anything about it? And it comes back to that, like, very first podcast I told about the story about the toilets being dirty and things, you know, or the spoons and the cutlery lying about on the floor and saying, look how bad the Gurdwara looks, it's all messy. And something that, you know, the uncle's saying, well, why don't you clean it up? We do need to take responsibility. And it's true. And I just, funny you mentioned it, because I heard this at the weekend from someone saying that, because I was in Telford at a camp, and like a Sikhi camp, and the subject actually came up about, if we sit back and think, oh, he'll do it, oh, she'll do it, if we think like that, we're never going to get anywhere. Because, yeah, she may do it, but she's looking for you to help as well. And he may do it, but he wants you to help him do it, because then we can succeed, you know, collectively and actually have a better outcome, because we will all feel part of something. And I think that's what we do struggle to do in our cultures, that we, like, it comes back to that again right from the start of, like, just try to succeed in your own and leaving people behind. I think it's important that we all fail together, but then succeed together as well.
Exactly, and 100% agree. You know, in the various podcasts, for those listening on YouTube, I always have a different T-shirt on, you know. So this one I've got on, this is also reminds me. So this is Tough Mudder T-shirt. So, and I think I did Tough Mudder last year, was 2023, yeah. You know, and that was often postponed due to COVID and stuff. And then, and I raised, I didn't just do it the Tough Mudder for a sense of achievement, but also I did it for Mind. And I think we were talking about mental health earlier on. And so I raised money for the Mind charity. And I think, you know, it's important that we talk about just in the about that here is that's why a lot of men. A lot of especially men, but there's obviously all people, you know, children and, you know, boys, girls and women as well, not talk about the mental health in the communities, because they feel that, you know, one, that, you know, in Punjabi they go pagal ho gaya or pagal ho gayi hai, you know, that she's gone crazy or he's gone crazy, because there's that stigma. Okay, also it's seen as failure. You know, you're not strong enough. Pick yourself up. Pull up your socks. All these kind of rubbish, you know. Put your chin up, you know. And so it's, for me, that is not failure. That is actually being open and honest, and that we've got a societal issue here, you know, in various cultures. And then in talking our culture, we've got a big issue, because we've not just got... you know, the societal and cultural, we've also got the religion aspect and, you know, all these different family dynamics and stuff, and people not being honest about their mental health, you know. What's your take on it?
Yeah, it's funny, I went over a day during the those who are always on YouTube will see that, but for those on Spotify, the reason I went on a daydream because I'm looking forward so much to the sixth episode of Imposter Syndrome because I've got a lot to talk about. So I'm trying not to think about too much about that. So sorry about that. But definitely tune in. I'm excited. Hopefully you will be excited. And, you know, please, I'm going to say one last thing before I continue is that look at our last podcast because these all have a connection. And that was the whole point. And again, to my brother over here, he you know, he organizes quite well where they do have a connection. So there'll be a lot of crossover. So do please bear with us if you think, oh, they've talked about it already. It's important. These all connect. They connect through faith. They connect through culture. They connect through everything we're talking about. So please make sure you go back, listen to the other ones, and make sure you come back for the other one as well, imposter syndrome. So there is that. And I've seen that a lot in our culture where we do, like especially, I'm going to touch on and bring that into it, the women thing. They're obviously, in our culture, have kind of been bought up, especially I even say in Sikh culture, like, you've got to be strong. You cannot fail your household. And they don't want to see you fail that household because then they look at you really bad. And then they say, oh, you've been basically, and obviously it's bad. They'll look at you like you've been a waste of life, basically. And I've seen some of these strong languages, and I really want to get that point across that we need to stop saying these kind of things because it's belittling that person. And then they're going to constantly fail, and they're going to always be in their heads a failed person. And I think that's really bad. And this is why Guru Nanak in our scriptures actually says that, So kyo manda ake jitte jamme rajan, which basically means, why call her bad? From her kings were born. And it's so true. And Guru says that in our scriptures.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And, you know, and in Islam, we have, you know, similar aspirations and the lineage from Bibi Fatima Zahra, which is the Prophet, peace be upon him's daughter. You know, we can talk about that in future podcasts. But I do agree with what you're saying. And again, I think it's the fear in everything, the fear in failing, the fear in expectations, not managing to be able to achieve those expectations. And so for me, that's all a closed mindset. You know, we need to have a positive and open mindset, and that's where growth and success comes from. For example, another reason why I always, this is unscripted, I have little kind of reminders of my T-shirts and my cap. So my Touch Rugby cap. So I remember Touch Rugby coach was amazing. And unfortunately, he died age 47 of, you know, bone cancer and left two, you know, kids and stuff. But, you know, he was the first one to give me a national opportunity to manage a team. And I'm also grateful if Peter Fastendehead is listening, for all the opportunity he's given me and other people in Touch Rugby as well. But the best coaching advice was got regarding, you know, I think I told you that we were losing a game at halftime 7-0, right? Okay. The coach, when we came off, right, he all asked everybody not to speak, right, just to take sips of water because everybody's blood's boiling. You know, we can't finger point to anybody, right, but that's not team working. That's, anyway, so he took everybody to take a sip. Nobody talked for 10 seconds. So he just talked. He was talked about the positives. I'm not going to talk about negatives. He talked about positives and what were the challenges and then, you know, what we did really well. So, you know, and I don't swear, but let's call it a crap sandwich, you know, right? But we still had to swallow that, right? And basically he said that in defense, when we make a mistake, make sure the next one's bigger and better, you know? So we come back from that. So if you make a mistake, the team, if we lose, we don't lose as an individual, we lose as a team. Okay, if your teamwork doesn't slide in defense to cover you, that is a team failing rather than an individual failing. Okay, right. So next time, if somebody gets through, you make sure the next one's better. You know, and we end up I think drawing that game 9-0. You know, we came back and scored 9 in the second half. They only scored 2 in the second half. You know, so it's, you know, for me, failure to success is not quitting, not putting your head down, collective community team working to still achieve that success. It's coming to the end of our time. Looking forward to our episode 6. But for this podcast, I'm Syed Kerblai, and this is Bros from Another Mo. And so shukriya, and shukran, thank you, mange tak, and over to you, Dambir.
Yeah, dhanwad, shishi di, and waheguru ji ka khalsa, waheguru ji ka fateh, which is really important. It's one of my greetings, and it's also a thank you. So, yeah, that's been great, and definitely tune in to our next episode. I think that was a really nice ending as well, summarised by my brother there, Saeed. So, thank you very much.
That's great. And also another shout out to Rebel PT, friends and family, Liam Bailey for helping us with this production. So thank you all. And we'll see you at the next one.